I look at that and I get emotional. I can't help it. It says it's undefiled. It's beyond the reach of any evil. Nothing can taint it. Nothing can soil it. And it doesn't fade away. What does that mean? It never grows old. It's forever. And look what it says. It is reserved in heaven for you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, greetings and welcome to the broadcast. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Inheritance, what a beautiful word, from a study of the Old Testament book of Joshua. Now, here's Pastor.
He gave her the land. Maybe the land didn't have the water that she needed, and now she wanted this so she could irrigate the land. We're not told. We don't really need to know. But what we need to see is that there was a woman of faith. Amen? And I'm going, man, listen. Because Caleb wholly followed the Lord, he was able to bless his only daughter, his child, to bless her. But the thing that we need to see, it wasn't just with the land or with now you have water. That's great, but that wasn't it. You see, there was a greater inheritance. And you know what it was? The same thing that we see tonight in Caleb, it was his example. Is there anything better than having someone in your family, your father, your mother, your grandfather, whoever it might be, your brother, sister, whoever it is, a friend, someone that you look and say that she or he has great faith. And I want to imitate that great faith. I want to learn and to trust like he trusts. That's exactly what this woman received from her father. That was the greatest inheritance that she could ever receive. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Now that tells me something. It tells me that seniors, okay, I'm a senior, all right? Seniors should be examples to the younger people. Amen? That's exactly what I see here. And show the young people how to wholly follow the Lord. Did you know that whenever we have seniors in the church, older people, older women that are really turned on to the Lord and following the Lord, do you know that is a sign or one of the signs of a healthy church? It's when our older, the seniors, are full of the faith of God and trusting the Lord. It says in Titus 2:2, it says, talking about the signs of a healthy church, it says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate. Here it is, sound in faith. Just like Caleb, sound, or the word sound means healthy. Healthy in faith, healthy in love and patience, and the older women likewise, that they be reverent in their behavior. In other words, live in a way that honors God, and that not slanderers, not gossipers, you know, or gossip about people, or listening to gossip, or spreading it. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, or literally that word means teachers of beautiful things. A faith that is healthy. Older seniors should set the example to trust in God, wouldn't you say? You know, sometimes people get mad at me, young people. They say, you know, just trust God, just trust God. Yes. Well, don't you have anything more than that? No. Just trust God. Well, what does that mean? Trust God. Well, I mean, isn't there a little bit more built? No, just trust God. Slow down, be patient, trust God. Just trust the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus, amen? You know, listen, that's what it's all about. Well, but you don't know my day. No, you trust God no matter what the day holds. You know, we should, when we get older, after we've walked with the Lord many, many years, we should have no fear of death. Do you understand? I mean, no fear of death, because we are beyond that. We know so much that the moment that we close our eyes, no matter what happens to us, we're there. We're with him right that moment. And it's not that we can quote it. It's that we know it in our hearts. We know that God will never, ever, ever, no matter what we're facing, he will never let us down. We may accuse him of that, but he'll never let us down. Never. God has never let me down. So older people, it says, man, you know, you need to be healthy in faith. And not only healthy in faith, but healthy in love. You know, when we get older seniors, listen, we should know with all of our heart that the great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and our neighbor is ourself. That it's not a suggestion. It's not even an option. It is a commandment that's embraced our hearts and how we desire not only to show our love toward God, but our love toward our fellow men. It's so easy when we get old to get hardened, set in our ways. It's so easy to become an old wineskin. I'll never forget when we were starting the design for the children's church, the kids wing. I visited several places and so forth. And then I realized what an old wineskin I'd become. I realized that, you know, this generation of kids, I said, well, open up your Bible and, put a Joseph on a coat of many colors, put him on the flannel graph and tell him to draw or something. That's not what kids do anymore. Do you understand? We've changed our culture. We've got to identify not watering down God's word, but we've got to embrace the technology or whatever's needed to bring the word of God to their hearts. And I remember when we put that playscape in, and I was over at this big, big church in Dallas. I was someplace over there, and hard to believe I left the promised land for Dallas, but... And I was looking at, man, they had a playscape and a rock climbing wall. And they had, it was huge. And so I asked this guy, I said, what is that for? I said, I've never seen an indoor playground like that. And he said, that's bait. I said, what? He said, that's bait. He said, that helps the kids keep coming and inviting their friends so we can lead them to Jesus Christ. And I said to myself, I walked out and I repented. Because I said, Lord, I've gotten old. I've become an old wineskin. Oh, Lord, I want new wine poured in. I want to be so soft and so pliable. Listen, when we get older, we need to embrace those things. Amen. We need to say, Lord, do a new thing. It may be a new thing, but it's still the same God. New methods, but it's still the same word of God. Amen. We need to know those things. You know, when you get older, and we should know it when we're younger, is that the love of God is so important for our lives. You know, we know that love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And we know that love never fails. And when we know that, we then can be an example for our younger people and set them on the right way. Listen, inheritance is more than just, okay, God giving them the land and God setting the boundaries of their land through the casting of lots or whatnot. It's much more than that. You know, when we start thinking about what that really means, King David and Jeremiah the prophet, they tell us both that, you know, that God himself is the real inheritance. Amen? Listen to what David said in Psalm 16:5. He says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. That's something. He says, and you're my cup. You maintain my lot. Jeremiah 10:16 says, the portion of Jacob, or literally the all-sufficient God, is not like them, meaning these false idols. For he's the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I have never, ever received an inheritance from anyone in my entire life. Never. And, properties or this, never. And I don't expect to either. But listen, you know, nothing in this world, nothing that this world can offer as an inheritance can compare with God himself. See, God is our Father. We are his inheritance. He is our inheritance. Do you see what I'm saying? I think, oh, God, you're so good. See, we dwell in God, possessing him. God dwells in us, possessing us. And here's what's so wonderful about that, is that what God has, God preserves. Amen? Turn in your Bibles. Let's make a quick application. Turn in your Bibles to the New Testament book of Ephesians and look with me at chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, talking about our inheritance. What a beautiful word that is. It says there in verse 3, one that I just quoted, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's a past fact and a present reality, who has blessed us, that's all of us here, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then it goes through and look at our inheritance. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We're no longer slaves, amen? We've been bought at a price. We're a purchased possession. And then we go through and watch this now and look at verse 11 here with me. It says, in him also we have obtained, and what? Inheritance. We are either made his inheritance or we're not. It's either true or false. We are his inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. Now listen, Jesus has redeemed us through his blood. Jesus has purchased us with his own blood. Acts 20:28, purchased the church. And it says he's also made us his inheritance. Does it ever get better than that? We are his people. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church. Our inheritance is in Christ, and Christ is in us. Now listen very carefully. Are we joint heirs with Christ? Can you imagine what he is going to get? He's going to share that with each and every one of us. And if we are joint heirs with Christ, and we are, listen carefully now, it means that Jesus cannot claim his inheritance apart from us. He can't do that. Are you following me? God can't lie because we are co-heirs with him. All that God the Father is going to give Jesus the Son, Jesus is going to share with us. What a day that is going to be. Look at verse 13. And in him, meaning in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the good news. Jesus, you know, died, was buried for our sins and so forth. In whom also having believed, or when you believed, you were. Listen, that's a present fact and a present reality. The moment you came to Jesus, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, watch this, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. How long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The seal is the Holy Spirit. You know that the seal denotes security. It denotes ownership. It means this, that God knows who belongs to him. The Bible tells us there in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. We are, if we're born from above and Jesus truly lives in our heart, we are, I believe, eternally secure unless there is someone stronger than God who can remove the seal. No one can take the Holy Spirit from me. I'm sealed. How long are we sealed? Until the day of redemption. That means the moment we go home. Listen, I don't know about you, but that is a great inheritance. Amen? God's not going to lose us. Look at it again. It says in verse 14, the Holy Spirit, who, that means the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee, the down payment, the pledge, whatever you want to call it, our engagement ring, the first installment. It doesn't really matter. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. It says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until when? The day of Christ. All the way until he comes for us, until we get to be home with heaven. So the Holy Spirit is that guarantee. It's our down payment, if you will, the earnest money, however you want to look at it, that God, that he's not only saved us, but he's going to work in us and he's going to finish what he started and he's going to bring us all the way through to glory. And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, I know that my and your inheritance is not full yet. It's not fully yet because it's still future. But until we reach heaven, we're secure. You know, justification, remember, justification is past tense. That's a one-time act. That's the moment that you come to the Lord and you say, Jesus, be my Lord, come into my heart. And at that very moment, a judicial decision is made. It's not a feeling, it's a fact, where God declares the believing sinner as if he had never sinned. And you are put into your account, imputed into your account, the perfect, spotless, righteous, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Oh, what an inheritance. Amen. Now, that's past tense. But then there's sanctification. That is present tense. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, bringing us daily and yearly and year after year into Christ's likeness because we're being conformed into His very image. Amen. But then there's another one. It's future tense, and that is glorification. That is the day that when all of a sudden this stinking, rotten body that is falling apart, of course, Caleb's didn't, but you know what I mean, and all of a sudden we're home with the Lord. I mean, we have those brand new bodies, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, what a glorious inheritance we have. What a beautiful word that really is. Listen, heaven is our home. We have no home here, loved one. Amen. We're passing through. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll close with a couple of scriptures here, but let's just look at something. Peter there in the first epistle of Peter chapter 1, he's writing to the pilgrims and so forth that are sojourning there in life. And that's what we are. We're pilgrims. And look down at verse 3. Watch this now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again. In other words, we're born again. Watch this now. To a what kind of hope? Amen. Living hope. Not just a hope, but a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, Jesus is not in the grave, and our living hope that we have been given and that we have, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Listen, our living hope doesn't end when we die. It goes on forever and ever and ever. Look at verse 4. It says, to a what? There's that word, inheritance. Oh, look at this inheritance that we have. It says, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. And look at this, reserved in heaven for whom? For us. It's right now, right this very moment, this inheritance that we have. Listen, it's waiting for us right this minute. It's promised and it's already bestowed according to this word, secure in heaven. Why is that? Well, because our inheritance, number one, it says, is incorruptible, can never perish. Does it get any better than that? Our inheritance, what a beautiful word. I mean, it's waiting for us. It's waiting right now. I look at that and I get emotional. I can't help it. It says it's undefiled. It's beyond the reach of any evil. Nothing can taint it. Nothing can soil it. Nothing can make it dirty. It's pure. It's lovely. And it doesn't fade away. What does that mean? It never grows old. It's forever and ever and ever. And look what it says. It is reserved in heaven for you. Reserve means guarded by God. Oh, what an inheritance we have. Now watch this in verse 5. Who are kept, that word means to be shielded or guarded, who are kept how? By the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed when? In the last time. That's the final step. That's when we're home. That's when we step into heaven. That's the ultimate salvation. That's our new bodies. The word kept there again is shielded and guarded. It's one of the most beautiful words in Scripture. Do you think God can keep you? Well, I'm going to come to you, and if you save me, can you keep me saved? I mean, if I'm really saved, are you going to forget me, cast me out? Am I not going to make it? You know, it's like God says, whoa, man, you got a problem. It says right here that we are kept by the power of God. The power of God. You're protected. Is there any greater power than God? Oh, what an inheritance we have. What a beautiful word. The same power that said, let there be light. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He says, no, you're kept by my power, son. You're kept by my power, daughter. My very power. See, kept means that we are constantly being guarded by God on every side. Is there anything greater than being guarded by God? What is he telling us then? God is giving us tonight, in our inheritance, he gives us an assurance. He says that you will safely arrive in heaven if you belong to me. You're going to safely get there. You're going to make it. And what is being guarded? Our salvation. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:27? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And listen carefully. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Never. That is a promise from Jesus. They will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen, God, look at our inheritance. God is so certain that we will be in heaven. He has already given us the assurance. Look at verse 6. In this, in what? In this inheritance. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Yeah, we're going to have trials until we go home. There's going to always be trials, ups and downs, heartaches. There's going to be many things that we don't even understand. But he says, you know what? He says, but in this inheritance that we have, you greatly rejoice. Are you greatly rejoicing in that? In the inheritance that we have? Look what he says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, meaning our faith, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Caleb lived for 45 years on one promise from God. You're going to go back and you're going to walk on the land that you spied out, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your descendants forever and ever and ever. Boy, I think, oh God, you know how we need to be men and women of faith and say, Lord, I'll survive on one promise, but we have thousands of promises. Amen. You know, and they're all yes in Christ Jesus. Let's finish up with verse 8. It says, talking about Jesus our Lord, it says, whom having not seen, I love this, you love. Though now you don't see him, but yet believing. Look at this now. You rejoice with joy. That literally means joy that cannot even be contained. We're just shouting it out. And inexpressible, meaning that's only used here in the New Testament. It's like we don't have the words to even express it in our language. And full of glory, receiving, that's something that we've already received. Watch this now. Receiving the end of your faith. The end of your faith. The end of the divine plan of God for each of our lives. That's when we go home. The last thing, he says, the salvation of your what? Of your souls. What an inheritance. Incredible. What a beautiful word that is. You know, we love the Lord. I've never seen the Lord. Have you? I haven't seen him, but I love him. You know, we don't walk by sight anyway, but why do we know that we love the Lord? How do we know that we love the Lord? Romans 5:5. And this hope does not disappoint. But the love of God has been shed abroad or poured out into our hearts. The love of God is right there, right this minute, by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. And what is the Holy Spirit? He is the seal. He's the down payment. He's the first installment. He's the first taste of heaven. Amen? And I say, oh God, you're so good. Listen, to love Jesus and experience Jesus is not only a fact, it is an experience. Oh Lord. You know, when you are in the overcomer, which is Jesus, you know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen in our future. This is going to be incredible. It says in Revelation 21:7, he that overcomes, again, you have to be in the overcomer to overcome. Here it is. Shall inherit all things. I don't know what that means, but it means we're going to have it all. Amen. And listen what it says. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter. What a glorious inheritance we have. Let us not be weak in our faith. Let us be strong in faith. Amen. We have all the faith that it's been given to us by the Lord. He's given every person a measure, the measure of faith. Romans 12:3, it abides right here, right now. All we have to do is water our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Grow, and claim all the inheritance that God has for us here, and then when that's sufficient, then we'll be there. Amen.
Well, Pastor Bill's study of Joshua continues tomorrow, so please join us if you can. And in the meantime, we hope you enjoy the rest of your day. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.